We're continuing our series on cultivating an intense desire for the Word of God. Cultivating an intense desire for the Word of God. Cultivating an intense desire for the Word of God. Glory be to God. Cultivating an intense desire, longing for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Amen. Cultivating an intense desire for the Word of God. As you know by now, I major in repeating. Mm-hmm. I major in repeating ad nauseum, ad infinitum. I got to do it until it clicks. Until it clicks. Until it clicks. That's why I tell you to get in it and get in it and get in it and get in it every day. Because you and I both know if you have any modicum of decency and respect and honesty about yourself, you know it doesn't click sometimes the first 25 times. But you have to understand that sin did all that. So we got to hear it and hear it and hear it. That's why faith comes by hearing. You didn't say faith comes by hearing the word of God. Hearing and hearing. And hearing and hearing and hearing and studying and meditating and doing. It's all of that. I major in repeating. And in saying that, here we are back at the beginning again, reminding us that cultivate again means to promote the growth, development, and improvement of, in this case, we're talking about our intense desire. We don't want just a desire, because the command wasn't just a desire. The command is intensified, if you will, because of the preposition in front of the verb. It's epipateo, not just pateo, not just have a desire, but cultivate that intense desire. And so the way we cause that to grow is that there must be, when we talked about it, there must be careful attention, training, and study. Careful attention. Training and study. It must be on purpose. And we talked about practical things, ways of getting the word. And again, sometimes you throw words out, so I like to overteach. So what does receive mean? Well, it means to accept the word when you hear it, to consent to it, to agree with it, to approve of it, to endorse the word. What about it? That it is the absolute truth above all else. And that goes back to the song that says, I'm trading in my thoughts, my knowledge, my ways. And they are subservient to and will bow down to the word because it is the absolute truth. Why? Because it is God's truth. Can't get it without receiving it. Talk about intent. There's no intent to learn from it, to obey it, then you have, why are you listening to it? Mm-hmm. Just think about this. If you're hearing the word and there's no intent to obey it, to do what it says, then why are you listening to it? I said, there's no intent. You may have an intent, but you maybe haven't clicked yet and don't understand it, but if the intent isn't there to obey it, then why? We talked about ways of getting the word, reading, studying, meditating, went over all of that. Tried to give you practical examples, whether you listen to an expository sermon multiple times. You do a word study. The Lord may, within the sermon, bring out a word or a verse, and you do an exposition on that. You take the words down, look at them in the Greek, the original language. Maybe read some right commentaries on it. I don't want to just throw you out there, but you got to. I don't mind you running things by me. What about this commentary? What about this one? Some commentaries are good. Some are partial. Some are. You just got to know the word and know to figure out who to kind of listen to. As I study multiple commentaries concerning some explanations and concepts of the Word of God. I'm always being led by the Spirit of God. I have to be, because I don't want to come before you with the wrong thing. But those are ways to do it, doing that. You can do word studies. One of the ways to do it, listen to an expository sermon, because it's being broken down for you, and then you just hear it over and over again. My simplest advice would be that. And if you can stand listening to me beyond Sunday and Wednesday, if you are a member here, I recommend you listen to Word of Life sermons. Amen. Because if you're here and you believe that God is speaking through me, and you trust me as an instrument of hearing from God, then I would recommend you start there.
Amen.
Now the word is broken down. And then you just sit down and take notes.
It is.
Write it down. That would be the best way to do that.
Amen.
If you really, really want to know the truth. Get a pad, pencil, hit play.
Yes.
And just pause, write it down. And you'll be surprised if you do that, how much more the Holy Spirit will speak through you and personalize that word even for you, or something that I didn't say.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Lord didn't say at that particular time.
Amen.
Sister Rolanda talks about that all the time, how she does her study. Get a paper, pencil, you know, something to write with or whatever, and shut it down for whatever amount of time. Again, the quantity of how long is not the issue, because even if you hear 15 minutes of it, you want to meditate on it anyway. For half hour, whatever it is, I'm not giving you time. But that's what you need to do. Give your full attention to the word. Because in that will be, you'll be studying, you'll be meditating. All that's come underneath there. And then you'll obey. You'll round it out by obeying. Gotta round it out by obedience. Got to round it out by obedience. But the listening to over and over again, taking your notes, then you're studying and meditating, and that's going to lead to understanding it, which we'll get to in a moment. Then you'll know what to do and how to do it. Make sense? We talk about here, you know, you study until its truth, the truth of God's word, becomes your truth. Its truth renovates and renews your mind. Its truth completely shapes your worldview. And this is where we're getting a breakthrough, I think, on some of our Word of Lifers. Where the Word of God is shaping worldviews, your thoughts, your ideas, your philosophy, theory, theologies, and so forth, is dominated by the Word of God. That's the key to the thing. Sponge full of water, light squeeze, water comes out. You full of the word, whatever thought, whatever happens that puts pressure on you, boom, the word comes out.
Amen.
And so we got to get the word in there real good. And last week, still studying, whenever we're receiving the word, the reception of that word is to always be accompanied with the intent to understand it. Because you don't understand it, how are you going to know what to do, how, what, nothing. So it should be the intent to understand. That's why you're hearing it. And again, all that comes under hearing the sermon, taking notes on the sermon, studying that sermon, meditating the sermon. Then you'll have a chance to do this, understanding it. And then, of course, again, I'm going to say that ad nauseum, and obey it. And obey it. Man. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, beginning with verse 5. Proverbs 4, verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. And skip down to verse 7. Wisdom is a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding. Okay? So let's go back here and kind of take this apart a little bit. Verse 5. Get wisdom. Let's just start there. Get. Let's see if this comes up this time. The word get means to make your own. Make your own. Let me make this bigger here. Okay, Miss Denise, can you see that? You see this right here?
No, I can't. The bottom.
Yeah. Okay. Get means to acquire. See, you just say get wisdom. But I like to be thorough. Well, what does get mean? Well, it means that it means you've acquired it. Well, what does that mean? Well, you possess it. Hey, you've gotten it, that you've made it your own. Yeah, acquire, possess, make your own what? Wisdom. What kind of wisdom? Godly wisdom. Wisdom. We're talking about godly wisdom. The word is chokma, C-H-O-K-M-A. Chokma. Godly wisdom. And since wisdom is so important, it would behoove us to understand exactly what wisdom is. So get wisdom, make it your own. Okay. And then, okay, so the word wisdom, talking about godly wisdom, chokma, C-H-O-K-M-A, and it's knowledge / information / facts, and, so I have capitalized that, the ability to make the right choices at the opportune time. So it's not just a collection of information or facts or data, but it's then the application of that information, facts, and data that you receive, and how to use it and make the right decision at the right time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Other than that, you're just collecting facts, data. That's nothing. That's why it's not. That's why you have in seminaries now across the world, and particularly in America, folks just collecting information. They have no intent to do. They're looking at the Bible like some sort of, like a literature book or a history book.
Yes.
Not something that's a spiritual book. That's the living word of God.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Yes, sir. It's just another book. So they're getting the facts and information, but it's a use of that. And of course, if we talk about godly wisdom, then it's to use it according to God's will and way. So, some more on that. The quality or state of being wise. Wisdom is having knowledge of what is true and right, coupled with the ability to make a just judgment or perform a just action. So again, every time I made sure that the definition has this coupled with ability to make, to use information, to make the right choice, or to make a just judgment, or perform a just action. It's a know-how. Then you go up one more. The ability to judge correctly and to follow the best course of action based on knowledge and, here we go, understanding. Knowledge and understanding. Do we got that?
Yeah.
So wisdom again is the acquiring, remember to get and make your own, possess, acquire, possess, to make your own knowledge. information, facts, come godly, and the ability to make the right choices based on the information, and there must be understanding to make that happen. Mm-hmm. Hope it's not confusing. I mean, so that's kind of the summary of it all is that you're getting information. That's why you got to hear the word. You got to hear the word here. That's where you get the information. That's where you're getting the knowledge. So you're getting the facts from God's word. But that's just the beginning. Because then, as you get understanding, you'll learn how to follow the best course of action, or how to make the right choices, or make a just judgment and perform a just action. Because the word of God is governing your mind. And again, the song says, I'm trading in my thoughts. I don't trust my ways. Good. Does that mean you've really prepared yourself to do this? He says, get wisdom. Get it. Get that information. Get that knowledge. Get that data. Get those facts from the word of God. And then acquire the skill to use it. You're gonna be a bad mamma jamma. For the kingdom, yeah. Sister Lana, you prayed about, you know, instead of using our influence, have you heard that part of the exhortation? You know, we join in with the world's way of thinking and speaking and acting. And so rather than using your influence by the Holy Ghost to be salt in that and not, you know, retard that corruption, not add to it.
Amen.
Yeah. We're powerful beings in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Christ Jesus. Let me hurry up and say that. So he says, get wisdom, acquire it. And then he says, get understanding. So that's great. That's the last part of that. Then he says, get understanding. Understanding is insight. And I love how the word of God doesn't hold out anything. If you take the time to go through it and not rush through it and, oh, let me hurry up and get this done and let me, did that for the day and, No, we don't want that kind of attitude there. So give me a moment. Okay. So get understanding. So understanding is here. Understanding. Get understanding, which is insight. And words like, and I hate that everything is bold because I got it colored and everything, but everything just looked like a whole bunch of writing. So, but insight, then next to that, you notice the hyphen. So this is a definition of insight. So there's probably three words: insight, discernment, and like I said, another one I got them highlighted: insight, discernment, comprehension, and interpretation. So let's start with insight. So when we talk about understanding, insight, so that's an apprehending, a grasping with the mind, the true nature of a thing. Okay? So insight is to apprehend. What does that mean? To grasp with the mind. So if your mind had hands, in a sense, and a fact is kicked into it, or some information comes across, or some data, it grabs it, meaning I got that, I got this. So it's a grasping with the mind, what? The true nature of a thing, or to see underlying truth. See, the Holy Spirit helps us to do that. The truth is there, but we need him to bring it out.
Amen.
Now look here, did the truth just become true in God's word when we understood it? No, it's been there. But the Holy Ghost allows us to have insight, which is causing us to apprehend with our mind those truths that we didn't see before.
Amen.
And then it clicks. Like, I got that. I see. So understanding involves insight. Secondly, understanding, the Hebrew word understanding, involves discernment. Discernment is the ability to distinguish between two. This is right and this is wrong. I see that now. Because at one point, I thought that that which was wrong was right too. I couldn't distinguish between two. But now with the word of God, there's good and there's bad. There's saints and sinners. There's sheep and goats. Saved, unsaved, believers, unbelievers, period. Children of God, children of Satan. The word of God gives you that insight and that discernment that you can clearly see. This is good. This is bad. This is holy. This is unholy. This is godly. This is ungodly. Guess what clears up, y'all? Gray areas. Okay? So understanding involves insight. It involves discernment. The next thing that it involves is comprehension. Comprehension is to mentally grasp something complete nature or meaning, sort of like insight. So it's to mentally grasp something's complete nature or meaning, only from the Holy Spirit. And then the last word is interpretation, which means to clarify, explain, and analyze. Clarify, explain, analyze. All of that is under understanding. Understanding, again, involves insight, discernment, comprehension, and interpretation. You can see why verse 7 says, get wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing, chief principal thing. Well, with all you're getting, get understanding. Get the insight. Get the discernment. Get comprehension and get interpretation. One of the ways I know you understand is when you come back to me and you can almost teach it back to me because you use your own examples of, just like this, like, hey, they got it. Amen. That's the interpretation part. You can clarify it, explain it, analyze it. You got it. It clicks. Now you see all that? That ain't gonna happen overnight. Excuse my ink, but that ain't gonna happen overnight. It comes by careful study. It comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. That's how I get the word of God. I hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it. Of course, then I study and those things too, but there must be an intense desire there must be intentionality rather, and then understanding I have here finished up leads to know how. Well, I know how to do this now. I know how to do that. I know how to love my wife more. I know how to be a better Christian. I know how to shut up when I need to shut up. I know how to discern now, because I see now that's clearly not right. That which I thought was okay is not okay. Yeah. Glory be to God. Thank God that the word of God is the baseline, foundational, basement truth upon which our whole lives are built upon.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes. We have a foundational truth. Yes. We can clearly say then that I'm not trusting my ways and I'm trading in my thoughts. Mm-hmm. I'm trading them in for this.
Yes.
For godly wisdom and insight and discernment. Only thing is, somebody warned by not being puffed up. Somebody warned about that. Because when you roll in this and you roll in it, you clearly see things that are not right and that things that are absolutely right, you got to be careful because knowledge puffs up.
Yes.
Word of God warns.
Yes.
Amen. Boy, boy, but this, and read one of the reasons it puffs up because you're like, man, I know how to do that. I already know. I'm rocking with that. I see it. I see the whole picture. Standing on the mountain, I can see how everything rocking and rolling. These last 5 years, and I know it's rerun and don't care, the sermons on preeminent identity, biblical worldview, joy in the midst of trials, and I don't know, maybe a couple of others. Oh, this one here too. They have just transformed my thinking. Insight has gone up by 1,000,000,000%. Discernment has gone up by 1,000,000,000%. Comprehension and interpretation and the know-how, all of that has gone up. I'm not confused. In the midst of all this political this and that and all that, even when it's at the height of the election, I was not confused. I wasn't concerned, wasn't worried. I got the word. He said, man, your preeminent identity is not your blackness, your whiteness, your ethnicity, your culture. It's who you are in me. First and foremost, I said you are no more Jew or Greek. I said you're no more male or female, bond or free. In me, you're spirit being, and spirits don't have genders, ethnicities, and socioeconomic standing. Do you see that? So I see you spiritually. You need to see you spiritually. Turn my whole life around. Glory be to God. Turn my whole life around. He said, get wisdom. Get understanding. Get wisdom. Get understanding. By the way, do those sound like suggestions?
No.
No. Commands. Imperative. Hey, why don't you go get a little wisdom? You know, if you want to, you know, you ain't got to. I mean, you can sit down and watch reruns of Fred Sanford if you want to. You can. I mean, I'd like you to go get some wisdom, you know. No. Get wisdom. Amen. It's almost like, you, what? Get wisdom, boy. Knock you in your head. Get understanding right now. Or if you're from the South, right now. Because we need it now. Yes. Yesterday. Yes. Then the rest of the verse says, forget it not. Okay. You go through all of this, then you're like, no. Why does it say that? Because you can forget it. How? Being distracted by that wisdom. Remember, there's two kinds of wisdom. Wisdom that from above and wisdom that's not from above. That simple. James 3, wisdom from above and wisdom that's not from above. It's earthly. The earthly wisdom, if you're not careful to guard and protect what you worked so hard to get in through your study and so forth, you can forget that wisdom. And you can decline from the word of God. That's scary. And that's silly and undisciplined, just being real. You go through all of that work and study and take your notes and study and take your notes and study and take your notes and study and obey. And then you just, undisciplined, because there's no one else to blame. You just get undisciplined. And mentally you start getting loose. Now, the ungodly wisdom starts creeping back in, starts influencing your thoughts. You can forget the wisdom. You can decline from it. You can. But that's a choice you make through being undisciplined and not guarding carefully your heart and mind. Y'all hear this? We're in a war. Listen to me. The end of verse 5 is scary. So it's just like, hey, it can happen. You can forget it. You can decline it. Decline. Choose to not listen to that wisdom anymore, for today at least, because I want that. That sounds like Wednesday sermon. Lusts of the flesh, lusts of the eyes will cause you to decline wisdom. Like, don't do that. You know that ain't right. You can distinguish between two. You know that. You distinguish between two. That's not right. You know that's right, and you not going over there is you know that's not right, and you not going is right. You know, you already know that. You got insight into the true nature that you go over there. The true nature is you're going to be in a world of trouble. That ain't your wife. Come on. That's not your wife. You know that cussing is not godly. You got insight. You got distinguishment. You have comprehension. You mentally grasp that's not godly. But if we aren't careful, we'll forget it. Or we'll decline. Just simply, I'm not going to do it. Verse 6 adds to it, forsake or not, don't decline it. Verse 6, don't forsake it. It being wisdom, godly wisdom, she'll preserve you, keep you, protect you. Love her, and she will keep you, protect you, guide you, guard you. Verse 8, wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. Principal, meaning chief, foremost, preeminent. Chief, foremost, preeminent. Principal thing. I just finally figured out what I was doing wrong. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Chief, foremost, first, and preeminent. Rerun, chief, first, foremost, preeminent, primary. What is that? Wisdom is. Wisdom is all of that. Selah. And it fits because he just said in verse 5, get wisdom. Get understand why? Because wisdom is the principal thing. It's the chief primary thing. Well, doesn't that make sense? What is wisdom? You said it's a gathering of information, knowledge, data, fact. You got to get what God tells you. What am I to do as a husband? One, I'm to love my wife as Christ loved the church. What kind of love is that? 1 Corinthians 13, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Love is patient and kind and does things that are needful. It isn't puffed up in pride. It doesn't take account of things of wrong. When it's wrong, it doesn't even take account of it. Pays no attention to suffering wrong. It's not provoked. We believe that, like someone said, probably was a short-tempered scribe who was interpreting the word of God and put in easily. But easily is not in the original. It's not provoked. Wow. Got to get the information. That's why being in the house on Sundays and Wednesdays, and being here on time and fellowshipping is a very godly thing to do, which benefits you, benefits us. And I love how Sister April talks about the post-sermon or post-fellowship that happens after. It's invaluable when you're in your small groups kind of talking to one another and getting more understanding and getting prayed for and all those sort of things. That's why you got to come to the house. Amen. Get information and the facts and data and all of that as much as you can from every opportunity to hear God's word. Amen. That's the chief, first, foremost. It starts there. Because you can't understand nothing. You got to understand something that you've already heard. Right. I know this real simple. I used to Eskimos, but I'm Captain Obvious. Yeah, get the information. Get the facts. Hug and love your wives. Love your neighbor as yourself. Live godly, righteously in this present world. And if you live in a godly life, you will suffer persecution. So there won't be so much, Wow, what's going on? You already got the information. Oh, I'm living godly. And sometimes the foes and enemies going to be of your own household.
Amen.
That's information we need to know. Yes. The family turns on you.
Yes.
You was cool with them, grew up with them and everything. But once you walk with the Lord saved you and he didn't save them, conflict. But you have information. Now you understand, you know how to deal with it.
Amen.
Instead of getting angry and wondering, and you may feel a little sad because that's your sister, that's your brother. We was cool. But I do understand that I have a greater family beyond my biological.
Amen.
And that's the true family. That's the family I'm going to be hanging with for eternity.
Amen.
Oh, let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And it kind of calms you down because you got know-how, understanding, insight to the true nature of things. Oh, I know why my sister treat me that way. Because they got the nature of Satan, I got the nature of God.
Amen.
The two cannot coexist. They're going to bump heads.
Amen.
Lord, just show me how to negotiate this spiritual condition.
Yeah.
He'll tell you to pray for them, that they be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And he tells for yourself, walk in love toward them because they're still a neighbor.
Amen.
Information. We got it.
Yes.
True insight. Hallelujah. So, he says, so then get this information. Wisdom, get that wisdom. And then he says, verse 7, wisdom is a principle, chief, first and foremost, preeminent, primary thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Remember, get again, acquire it, possess it, make it your own, godly wisdom. And with all thy getting of the wisdom, get understanding. That's why we kept saying, we kept saying that whatever you do, you read the word or hear it, study, meditate, understand, do, understanding, do. Then you'll get the know-how to do what it is you now understand. I understand that now, so I can do it. So you're hearing it, or reading it, however you want to do that, whatever that initial is, then you're going to study, meditate it to get the understanding of it, and then do it. It should be all five things. When I say that, the first one of hearing it, it can be a reading. You can read an expository, something that's expository, something means that it's being explained.
Yes, sir.
That's why I'm not a big fan of just reading the Bible. And I've never advocated that, and I know I'm probably a rare person of doing that for just reading the Bible. You read it, but do you understand anything you read?
Hello.
I'd rather for you to read two verses in a study Bible that's breaking things down, showing you and explaining things to you, and meditating on those truths, getting that understanding.
Amen.
And then making sure you do it. So that first thing can be either reading it or hearing it. And then you're studying, meditating, understanding, and then doing. Does that make sense? But it starts, wisdom comes in that first thing, either hearing it or reading it. Reading an expository book. That's the first thing. That's just that you're getting that wisdom. Understanding leads to the use of that information that you get. By the way, Word of God says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, give wisdom. Lord, you get to get understanding. That's the Word of God. That's the world we live in God's world. Wisdom is the principal thing. And get wisdom, or you get to get understanding. The world says, get money. Money is the principal thing. Therefore, get money. With all you're getting, get more. It's all about money. With us, it's all about wisdom. He's just a chief principal thing because it starts with the knowledge and information. Knowledge is information. You gotta get information. That's why one of our qualities are being pastors is we must be teachers. And I told you many, many times, in the Greek construction, Ephesians 4:11 says, and he gave to the church some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and pastors and teachers. Some, just say it again, see if you can catch it. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and pastors and teachers. There's no some in either one of those, pastors, teachers. So then pastors, noun, teachers, noun, are connected by the word or the conjunction and. So it's pastors and teachers. That's called in the Greek, it's called the Granville Sharp rule. And that rule states in the Greek, when two nouns are connected by a conjunction and, they're talking about the same person. So in the Greek, it would read, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and teaching pastors, which makes sense. Because how can you understand unless somebody's teaching the word of God? Pastors are supposed to be teachers. And until he tells me that's not the right interpretation of that verse, I'm going to stand on that. Because in the apostolic church where I grew up, it's probably where some of us grew up, we would say, well, you're a teacher, but I'm a preacher. Because they just not understanding the Greek. So if you, and God said, oh, Lord, that's a preacher. That's my gift. I'm a preacher. So I would go into those churches and I would teach it. You're a teacher. And I realized, no, all pastors are supposed to be teachers. Because that's how it makes sense. That's how you learn. That's how you get knowledge to begin the information, the process on toward understanding and then doing. You must be taught. Told Timothy, these things teach and exhort. And when he told Peter over and over again about feed my lamb, feed my sheep, feed my lamb, feed. How do you feed? By teaching the word of God. How do I set out the table for you to eat the word of God? Through teaching the word of God. Pastors are supposed to be teachers. Wisdom is a principal thing. It starts with getting information and knowledge. Then you study and meditate. That leads to understanding. And then you do because you know how to do now. You know what to do and know how to do it. Glory be to God. Thank God. It is the owner's manual. It's the recipe for a good marriage. As I said before, you're not tripped out when you put in flour, sugar, butter, eggs, and nuts. So you just don't take a picture, call the news, and call your wife and all your kids. Ooh, a cake came out the oven. Look at this. Wow. You're going to have a good marriage if you follow the recipe. You're going to have good relationships. You're going to have a fruitful life that pleases God when you follow the recipe.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
That's simple.
Again, James 3:15. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demon. Verse 17, but the wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. Two types of wisdom only. James 3:15-17. Two types of wisdom only. Two types of wisdom only. There are only two types of wisdom.
Yes.
No matter how kind or how benign you think your wisdom is because of what you've learned, if it's not godly and based on the word of God, it is demonic, it is earthly, and it is natural. I didn't say that. The Holy Spirit did through Apostle James, verse 15 of chapter 3. And then he said, but the wisdom from above is first pure, and of course, because it comes straight from God, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. Let's go back to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, 23. Proverbs 23, 23. Buy truth, do not sell it. Buy, acquire. It's kind of the same thing. Acquire, possess, make your own. What? Truth. What kind of truth? The word of God. Sanctify them through thy truth, John 17, 17. Your word is truth. So buy truth, acquire truth, possess truth, make it your own, and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. Command again, get wisdom, get instruction, get understanding. I love people tell me how to do it. I want to know how to do it. When I got saved, how do I love this precious jewel like she's supposed to be loved? I know I had to go to the Word, fella. Went to the Word. That's where he popped in tape number one on the way home from church. And said, oh, did that wrong. Oh, that wrong. Why? I got married for the wrong reason. We just wrong. Wrong, just wrong. Everything wrong. I said, well, thank God we can correct it. Thank God we corrected on this word. We knew it because we listened to the word.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
How do I love my queen as God wants her to be loved when I got to go to God's book?
Amen.
And be taught. And what Bishop Butler did, then Pastor Butler, he taught an 8-tape series on marriage. And I listened to it, got instruction, and I got truth from it, and I got understanding. And I put it into practice.
Yes, sir.
It's really simple, be honest with you. It's not really, I'm not telling you anything profound. Just a matter of will we do it.
Right.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
He says it. Buy truth, do not sell it. When I got the truth, I possessed it, I made it my own, you ain't getting it out of my hands.
Amen.
I've seen the result of it. Now we got a little one on the way. Okay, show me how to be a godly father. I've heard a whole lot of mess because I was 28, 29, something like that when Brooke was born. And so I've heard 29 years of mess. Seen a great example for 9 years of my dad. Now it's my turn. Ain't nobody look behind nothing. You know, before then it was always mom and dad behind you. But now you're up now. And you look behind you, there's nobody there. Oh, you're the behind. Yeah, you got to do this. Father God, how do I become a good father? Well, Ephesians 6:4, don't provoke them. Don't get on their nerves. For number one, you got to spank them. And spare not for their crying. If you don't, you hate your child if you don't do that. You got to love them because they're your neighbor. Information from the Word. It's invaluable, y'all. It's invaluable. Conflict in the office, in the workplace. April works in the den of iniquity. The den of iniquity. Because the halls of academia can be some of the most ruthless, most prideful, arrogant. They really can be. And it can really provoke you to do something ungodly. But you got power and you got information.
Amen.
On how to deal with it.
Amen.
Psalm 119, verse 103. Wow,
you ready to close then?
Psalm 119, verse 103. How sweet, let me, too fast, my fault. Mr. Neese, let me know when you got it. G, let me know when you got it too. Psalm 119, verse 103. Just lift a hand when you have it. Okay, thank you. All right. Psalm 119, verse 103. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. How sweet are your words to my taste? Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Have you had honey straight out the honeycomb? My dad bought some. We just chewed on it. That honey is so sweet. The word of God is sweeter than that. I mean, it is a satisfaction that runs deep. Ooh-wee. From your precept, your word, I get understanding. Now, I read this verse in the middle of the George Floyd and all of that because we were getting our understanding from all kinds of places.
Hello.
Thank you, sir.
Worldly.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I'm just standing up here nice and tall, nephew, blindfolded. We were getting our understanding from all kinds of places that was not godly. And the Lord saw it. He said, boy, hurry up and talk to the people. They done lost their mind. I mean, the church went crazy.
Mm-hmm.
We reading Robin Diaz. We reading God's word don't need no help.
Amen.
And I don't care nothing about speaking proper English. God's word don't need no help.
Yes,
are you kidding me? That means you don't understand the word of God. That's the problem. That's the problem. Because you would know it needs no help. Everything is in the word of God and more. Even when we understand some things, you still barely scratch the surface. I get understanding from your word, not the world. I know we got confused and thought there was an L in there. That's what it was. That's what it was, Chris. They thought an L was in there. He said, from your precepts, I get understanding. From your precept. So they took out and put word, and then they put world, from the world. Yeah, there you go.
No.
Not at all. I don't get understanding from the world, but from your word.
Thank you.
I get understanding about how things are going on. From your understanding, I get into the true nature. Where is that? The mind said about the true nature thing somewhere up in here. True nature of things from your word. I can grasp with the mind the true nature of things. And where is the underlying? Because it's really underlined somewhere up in there. I need to change all that, but if y'all find it, let me know. Understand and say, boom. Yeah, but I thought it was up under one. But anyway, we talk about the underlying thing. It's because of the fact that the truth seems to have went on the ground, underground. When that happened and the pandemic too, our emotions and coupled that with our emotions, our truth just went underground. The lack of truth, we couldn't. Those who were getting understanding from other things than the word. The insight and discernment obviously is going to become muddled and you're not going to get it because it only comes from the word. And the truth went underground, it's underlined. Like, what's really going on? What's really going on? That's why I went through that whole term of our permanent identity 2020. Went through all of that terminology, social justice, anti-racist, a cultural Marxism. You hear all of these terms start being thrown about. What is the underlying truth behind all of that? What's really going on? What's the true nature of that thing? That's what he exposed. That's what we're on there for months. Trying to get the people of God to get understanding from the word of God. And not from the world of men. From the word of God and not the world of men.
Yeah.
You hear that again? From the word of God, I get understanding. Not from the world of men do I get understanding.
Amen.
Men mean human beings. That includes you too, yourself. Mm-hmm. What do you mean? Well, my way of thinking, my way of believing. I told you before, when you were born with a blank slate. Nobody taught you. I mean, you didn't come in, come in as a baby believing this, that, the other. Somebody taught you everything that you know. And as any other human being does, we decided within ourselves that I'm going to accept this and not accept that. I like that. That appeals to me. That feels good to me. The word of God wasn't in there yet. You see, for years and years and years, that's how we think. Whatever somebody taught us, somebody said something, you heard it, you decided to accept it. Or somebody taught you, you read it, heard it, and you decided to reject it. Think about that. There's no absolute truth to it yet. I mean, to you, it's true. We didn't know the word of God about it. So there was no baseline. There was no gold standard to measure what we believed by, because we didn't know the word. And so what we accepted as true to us became true to us. And that's true. It became truth, period. And when somebody didn't agree with it, you act like that it was biblical truth, because it was your truth and you believed it so tough, so strong and long for so long. And it became a fortress. And all this is happening without us ever thinking about it. As you know, we got fortress built up in our mind about our way of thinking and how we accept information and how we analyze and discriminate, and gain insight. All that was worldly. And then now you coming after so many years of thinking that way, and now you got to retool your whole way of thinking. Like, okay, the word of God shapes this now and not the world.
Thank you, Jesus.
I now have something to measure. Now I have a standard to go up against. Whereas before, you were the standard. You just made a choice. You know, if you think about it, nobody really taught you how to think. Think about it. Nobody really taught you how. You just kind of did. You know, those who were thinkers were thought, and others who didn't, they didn't. You weren't taught how to think. In school, you're being sort of brainwashed, you are, and it's getting worse and worse now. You're just, you know, just teaching you really how to receive. You hear Darren in school, you, what a guess, I don't know, whatever. You don't know that that's ungodly, demonic. You don't realize that it is an absolute, complete dismissing of the existence of God. It's demonic and hellish at its core. But we didn't know that. Because that leads to this mess called the five race lie. There are five races. That then leads to hierarchy. One better than the other. So one lie spawns another. And now today we have mass confusion. And the devil's saying, great. Yep. Just what I want. Because somebody started a lie and the folks decided to believe the lie. I told you, we're born blank slates. We choose to believe and accept as truth apart from the word of God. Because the word of God, we don't know anything about that really. That's why we must renew our mind. Let the word of God renew. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing and renovation of your mind. From your word, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Last, get down to verse 71. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Who do we learn? How do we get understanding? From the word of God. Where, rather? From the word. How do we get it? By learning. Psalm 119:71 again. It's good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statute. Jesus said, Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn. Father God, you taught us today just basic truths understanding, gaining wisdom and insight and understanding of your precious, eternal, infallible, inerrant. Infallible, meaning cannot fail. Inerrant, no errors in your word. Eternal, everlasting, ever living word. Help us to get a hold of what your word really is. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.